on the program, Isaac only put Timothy for this session. I think he didn't want to be associated with me and his brother because I have more hair than he does. I just thought of that. Back to the serious stuff, and this has been so wonderful. My pen has been going fast on the notepad. Title of this conference is Faithful Men. A week ago, last night, my cousin Chris and I were finishing up a trip in Nicaragua, and we were having a meal with a family, and the husband had gone out of the room. They've been married for 40 years, seemed to have a very happy marriage. And so this woman was telling us how she'd had a lot of health problems and how that for a while that he had to bathe her for about 6 months, had to turn her over in bed several times a night. I said, wow, what a man, what a husband, what a husband. I said, what a faithful man. And she said, no. She said, there are no faithful men. And she proceeded to tell me some sad stories that were really none of my business about her husband. But it wasn't only him, it's the whole, for many sources, the whole culture is just expected. It is expected that men will not be faithful. May God, by grace, change it in that nation, and may it not be so among us. May God bless us to be faithful men by His grace. So tonight, let's start in Hebrews chapter 10. We've already heard that Jesus has provided us with weapons, with tools in our toolbox to be faithful, to be strong, to negatively overcome sin, and positively to grow in Christ and to grow in our love for Him and our understanding. And one of the tools that He's given to us is each other, is that He's given us each other. Now, you know, we might say, someone might say, me and Jesus are enough. After all, I'm complete in Christ. Everything I need is found in Him. And Jesus is enough. We are complete in Him. But Jesus has provided us each other, hasn't He? In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read several verses that kind of give us, I'll just read it and then comment. Starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. That's your calling. Hold fast. We're entering in by the blood of Jesus. We trust in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our righteousness. He's how we come before God. And so in this faith, in following this Jesus, in being a pilgrim on the pathway to glory, we believe in Jesus, and so therefore our calling is to hold fast this profession. That's what we're called to do. Nobody can do that for you but you. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. That's your calling. That's my calling. No one else can do that for me, and no one else can do that for you. But you notice the sentence does not end there. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised, and what? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This glorious high priest, who is our God, who brings us before the holy God, calls upon us to hold fast our faith, to be faithful to Him. And as we're running the race, and as we're seeking to be faithful, we're called to look around and help others do the same thing. And also, I think it's obvious from this passage that if I need to be going and looking and helping others, then I also need to be receiving help from others as well. So the reality is, I need you. I really do. I'm not just saying it to sound nice. I need you. And you know what? You need each other. In Hebrews chapter 3, it's not just, fellowship. It's nice to see our brothers at church and talk about who won the football game. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. But he's talking about more than just knowing who that person is in church and know what their name is and what kind of food they like and who they cheer for. But he's talking about that we go deeper with each other, that we are going deeper in our walk with the Lord, and we're seeking to encourage one another and sometimes rebuke each other and ask, hey, pray for me about this, and let me confess this to you, and how can you help me with this? I need you, and you need me. This is big stuff. It's a big deal. And look at this passage in Hebrews 3. It shows how big of a deal it is. Verse 12, take heed, brethren. Take heed, brothers. Be on the alert, he says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. He talked about how sin has consequences. It has a hardening effect. He says one of the ways we're going to battle this and one of the ways we're going to overcome this is through each other. I need people like you. And you need each other. We all need each other. It's already been mentioned a couple of times. Sometimes we wear a mask. And we think that we like to give the image that we've got it pretty well together. But listen, if everybody in this room had just like a DVD in real time right now playing our thoughts, just our thoughts of the last week, who would want to stay in the room? We'd all be, I'm out of here. I'm first one out. I'm out that door right there. Right? So the reality is what? Is I am a wretch. I'm a sinner. I have thoughts every day I don't want to have. I have embarrassments every day. I wish I didn't have them, but I do. And you know what? You do too. You do too. We all are sinners. And so let's just be real with each other and say, hey, I'm Brother Timothy. I'm a preacher and I'm a sinner. And I need to stay close to you. And I need God's word. And I need prayer. And I've got to be faithful. I've got to be on the lookout. I've got to be accountable to people. I need help. And you do too. We all need one another. And there's this, I think, a general idea of accountability where it is this real fellowship with each other, where we are really trying to encourage each other in the Lord and in spiritual things, where we can go to somebody and say, hey, how is it really with you? How is it really with you? Or somebody can come to us and say, man, I really need you to pray for me about this. I need counsel in this, or I'm weak in this. So we need to be real with each other, real, genuine fellowship. You may not be real and that deep with every person in the church, okay? You're not going to be, in fact, I wouldn't advise you to be. You're not going to be that real with everybody around, but you've got to find somebody. You've got to find somebody that you can connect with and that you can be real with and who will tell you the truth and who will guide you and be willing to be that person for someone else. We all need that. So, but there's also, and this is tied together, also accountability in the idea of when we are caught in serious sin that has dominated in our life. We don't like it. We're not for it. We hate it. We've tried, we've prayed, we've memorized verses, and we've gone to church extra or whatever, but we still don't have victory. It still got us by the chokehold. And we can't overcome. There's a time to be open with someone. There's a time and come and confess and say, I am caught in this sin. And I need help. And I'm willing to submit myself. And I'm willing to open myself up and do what it takes to overcome this sin. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 1, verse 2. We know these verses, but they're so powerful. They're fresh. They're needed. And some of this will go for maybe people right now who need to seek accountability. And some of this will go for people who need to be willing to give accountability. So and sometimes one day that may be me, and the other day I may wear one hat one day and another hat the next day. But he gives instruction to both. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. The word restore means to set a broken bone back in place. It's hard work. It's painful work. It's very gentle work, but it needs to be done. It's gentle and hard and difficult all at the same time. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're called at times to bear each other's burdens of sin. And so there may be a time when you, if you even maybe be now, are caught and trapped in a great sin that has defeated you, has gained a ground in your heart, in your life, a continual pattern of defeat. It's time to call out for help. It's time to go to someone and seek counsel and seek love and all the things that need to be done. So why don't we do this? Because who likes that? Okay? Who enjoys confessing your sins to someone else? If you do, then that just comes natural to you. You're rare. Most of us are like, man, I don't want to tell anybody the stuff I've done. I'm going to look bad. This little image I've got going that seems pretty, you know, with it and together and holy and pious and accomplished, all that, it's going to be shot. My image is going to be gone. So why is it that we don't? What are some reasons that we don't? We resist this kind of thing when it needs to be done. One is this, probably oftentimes, is that we are afraid. We're afraid of being judged. When I say judged, we're afraid of being looked down upon as if we were the worst sinner and the only sinner there ever was. So let me just say this. If someone comes to you with confession and needs help, do we reflect Jesus Christ to them? Do we reflect the grace and truth of Jesus Christ? You know what? Truth, it'll tell me what I need to hear. Truth will nail me. Truth will say, you got to quit. Truth will say, you're wrong here. But grace says, man, give me a big hug and I love you. And I'm not going to go tell the world about all your problems. And I don't think you're garbage and trash now because I'm one with you. We're all sinners. But I'm going to tell you about Jesus and his blood. I'm going to tell you about Jesus and his wisdom to help you overcome. So when people come to us for help, God help us to manifest not even a hint of a pharisaical spirit, as if, you know, you're the sinner. Right. Let me help you here with my clean hands. No, I'm a sinner. I can help you because I'm a sinner and he's helped me before. So have the Spirit of Christ of grace and truth. Not just all grace. Oh, brother, I love you. It's going to be okay. You know, we all sin. No, don't stop there. It's got to be grace and truth. Telling us the truth of what we need to hear, but covered, saturated with the grace and the mercy and the love that a Christian brother should. Okay, so we don't do it perhaps because we're afraid of judgment. We don't do it because of the shame, the embarrassment, and the sense of, I'm a failure. What are they going to think of me? What are they going to think of me? I mean, all they seem to me is I come to church, seem to have a happy family, and I read my Bible a lot. That's pretty much the image I've got. But what are they going to think of me? I mean, they're going to know that I'm lousy. They're going to know that I've given into stuff I never should have given into. They're going to know I've made terrible mistakes. What are they going to think of me? Are they even going to want me around anymore? The shame, the embarrassment, the sense of a failure. I've blown my chance. Maybe that's why that we don't do it. It may be, and this is all connected really, again, our pride. That's really the biggest one, isn't it? It's our pride. I don't want to tell people about my, I don't want to look like a failure. I want to have, even if it's not true, I want to have an image that I'm not a failure. I want to have an image that I'm a pretty good guy. I've arrived, I've made, I've done big things, I'm a success. And if I tell folks, if I go to someone and confess my sin and ask for their help, I'm just admitting I'm a failure. It's pride. It's pride. The reality is, like we've already heard, none of us are strong. None of us are strong. I don't want to admit my own flaws. I think this is valid. It may be just crazy thoughts that the enemy puts into our minds. All kind of crazy thoughts. Well, I don't want to burden my pastor with this. He's got so much on him, and I don't want to burden him. Listen, that's what he's there for. That's what we're all there for. He just said, bear ye one another's burden. That's what we're called to do. I'm serious. Satan puts, if you're like me, he puts all kind of crazy thoughts in your mind. Well, you know, it'll get better next week, or again, I don't want to burden people with it, or who knows, whatever kind of other kind of garbage floats through our minds. Or it may be this. It may be we just don't hate our sin enough, like Brother Jerry just preached. It may be I'm not as sorry for my sin as I really ought to be. I know it's wrong, but part of me really loves this thing. Maybe I just haven't gotten to the point where I really hate my sin enough to go get help and go cry out. Listen, please, please don't be afraid to cry out for help. There's all kind of resources. There's all kinds of grace. There's all kind of wisdom. There's all kind of people who will come alongside you and say, buddy, we're going to help you through this thing. We're your brothers. We're in this thing together. We're going to fight. We're going to pray. We're going to labor for victory to overcome. Don't be afraid to cry out. Don't be afraid to cry out. You know, it will be hard. Okay, it will be embarrassing. There's no way around it. It'll be really hard. It'll be painful. I've had to confess things before. It's awful. I hate it. Let me tell you a story. There was this dad who was a very conscientious father. He'd been taught by his dad, but his granddad, a great example set of you provide for your family, you take care of your children, you're the hard worker, you're the stand-up dad, you protect them, provide for them in every way. And this man had done it for a while, but then he made some really, really foolish financial decisions, blew everything he had, was in debt. His child, his toddler, got very ill, seriously ill, was at the point of death. He needed, we'll just say in our terms, the equivalent of like $25 to buy some medicine for his toddler to live. He knew there was people who had the money. He knew there were people who had given the money. But he was ashamed. He felt like an utter failure. I'm going to admit that I've just blown my whole life's goal. My dad never had to do that. My granddad never had to ask for help. And here I've blown it because of my mistakes and my failures. So he's so overcome with this shame. You know what he did? Didn't do anything. And his child died. Now I want to tell you, I just made up the story, okay? I just made that up. All right. I had to think a while to get the details, okay? But you'll remember it, won't you? Okay? You get the point, right? You get the point. Just ask for the $25. Yes, you will be revealed that you made some stupid decisions that you'll be ashamed of. There's consequences. But ask for the $25 so your child will stay alive. And if we don't ask for help, there's going to be some death in our souls and damage and destruction for us because we simply were too overcome to ask for help. Ask for help. $25? Are you kidding me? People, 10 people will pay that for you. They'll be glad to do it. You need help with sin? There will be people who are there who are ready, willing to go the distance with you to help to overcome. Now, I'm not going to give a 10-step plan on accountability tonight. I don't think the Bible gives a 10-step plan. It's got to be this way, this way, and this way. But a couple of principles that the book gave that I think are very worthy. All right, number one, and they're really obvious. Find somebody who's trustworthy. Find somebody who's trustworthy. There's some people I know right now I would not go to for help with my sin problems, okay? Maybe because they're pharisaical or because they tell everybody in the world or what have you. Well, let me just tell you this. You know, this. I'll just say this. I have in my mind a list right now of people I know I can go to when I need help. People who I know are going to love me. They're going to stick right with me, and they're also going to tell me the truth. I have a list in my mind right now. It could probably get bigger if I thought about it long enough. Find somebody who's trustworthy. Find someone in accountability who has had victory in their life. Okay? If somebody's struggling with drunkenness, you don't go to your buddy who's also struggling with drunkenness and say, hey, let's be accountability partners. And we'll all meet together every week and say how many times we got drunk that week. Okay, that's not going to work, right? We go to somebody who's had some victory, who is mature in the faith, who has grown, who's overcome, and that person's ready to give us help. Okay, and accountability might hurt, but you got to tell it. You got to tell the truth. You got to tell the truth in accountability. You've got somebody is going to be hard to help you and help me if I'm not open with them with my sin and what I've done. It doesn't mean you have to give all the gory, terrible details that are inappropriate. But for somebody to really be accountable, they've got to tell what the problem is. They've got to tell, not talk in these vague terms, well, I've kind of struggled a little bit somewhat this week. No, here's what I did. Here's how I fell. Here's how it happened. Here's what I was feeling when it led up to this. Here's why I fell. It was at this certain time of night when I always am tempted and I always fall. See, when you have accountability, you can know all those details and build a battle plan. Say, hey, here's how we're going to do this. So, okay, from now on, you're just going to turn your phone off at 9 o'clock at night and you're going to put it somewhere away. You're not going to touch it the rest of the night, okay? Or, you know, whatever it may be. So you find someone who's trustworthy. You're open and honest with the confession. And that person's willing to help you with a battle plan to overcome this sin, to be transparent and open with it. But along with that, in accountability, for those who are giving accountability, we must be willing to do the dirty work. We must be willing to sweat and labor and meet with people, check up on people, pray for people, call people, do whatever it takes to help us overcome our sins. That's not just for preachers. This is all of us. Hopefully somebody can look at you and say, man, that's somebody I'd go to because they're real and they're going to love me, but they're also holy and they're going to tell me the truth. There's a whole lot more that could be said, but I hope and pray that God will bless us. Listen, what a shame it would be If there are people in this room tonight who need $25, but they just won't ask for it, there's people who've got it. Jesus has it, okay? Jesus has the answers. He has the grace, and He's given us brothers in the Lord who are strong and faithful. And so remember this. Hold fast your profession. Run after Jesus, and then look around and help others do the same thing. Consider one another to provoke, to love, and good works. I need you, and we all need one another. God bless you.